Let's pray. There's life in you, Father. We've tasted and seen that there's life in you. Lord, we're not going to lie. We've also tasted and seen that the wages of sin is death. We've tasted from the fruit of the tree that's forbidden. Shame came online. The evil desires within us led us down a path of deception. Every one of us walked that path. Some of us are still walking that path, God. Halfway home, halfway still in the world, halfway ensnared by self, convicted. We know that you're real. Some are closer to home, beginning to taste your love, beginning to realize nothing we've done has changed what you feel about us, what you see about us. We're beginning to be convinced that in your presence is all the real good stuff and that we've been lied to, we've been deceived, and some of us are all the way home, getting healed, getting free, contending for the faith, rescuing others, knowing that the closer we are to you and the more surrendered we are to you, the happier and freer we are. And that self-protection, self-preservation is our greatest evil, our greatest trip up. So, Lord, I ask that you would give me words today to equip, to call, to comfort. Lord, I don't want to exhort the wounded. I want to comfort the wounded. I want to exhort the lukewarm, the compromised. So I pray for the right word for each heart, God, in Jesus' name. These are your people. You love them. You love them. You treasure them. Your heart burns with desire for them. God, let nothing I say land on them in any way other than life. There's no condemnation, no guilt, no shame in your heart. You see right past what we've done. You see right past who we have become to who you created us to be. And you never lose sight of that. You're not struggling to forgive us. You're not struggling to love us. You find it easy to love us. No matter what, we honor you today, Jesus. We celebrate you today, Father. We need you, Holy Spirit. God's people said. Every one of you has a journey that you've been on, and every one of you has a heart that has a key. I've said this so many times. There's a key to your heart that God's given to each one of you, and he will not violate that key. He will not take you by force. I've often prayed that he would. I've often said, God, just come in by force. Unlock the doors. Break down the walls. Do it. Make a war with me. Just come after me. I don't know how to take my fortress apart, God, to let you in. I need you to take me. And he says, I won't. I won't. I need you to invite me in, and I need you to unlock the door. I won't go where you don't ask me, Tim. I will honor your authority over your house. And sometimes I go, oh, but Lord, I don't know where to find the key. I don't know how to unlock the door. I threw that away so long ago to that part of me as a self-protection. And he says, I know where you left the key. Are you willing to walk into the scary thing? What are you willing to do? And it seems strange, isn't it, that there's two things that drive us into a deeper place with God. See if this matches your experience. The first one, and the one we like the most, is desire. Desire. Because what you want most, you go after. Don't lie. It's true. The answer to the question, why did I do that, is always because you wanted to. And sometimes that's horrifying and scary. You mean I wanted that evil thing? Yeah, and you enjoyed it. Then what am I? A lot weaker than you thought. But that thing you did that was right. Why did you do it? You wanted to. Desire. Desire. When desire comes online, it's usually because we've tasted and seen some grace. It doesn't come online because there's a command in the Bible that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You should, No one ever was commanded into the love of God and had it work. It didn't happen that way. What does the Bible say? We love him. Why? Because. And how do we know his love? At the right time, when we were powerless, when we were in fact his enemies, Jesus came and died for us when we hated Jesus. And something about being seen in our brokenness and rebellion and despair enables us to go, oh my word, who could love me like you love me? There's no human who would do this for me. You love me deeper than any love I've ever. And so then desire comes online. Guys, think about this. Grace is the foundation of everything in your Christian life. Desire comes online. Now you can taste and drink. This is the love I need. Because we're seeking love, man. When you go through pain, when you go through heartache, when you have when your heart is just decimated, more than ever you become aware of how thirsty and hungry for love you really are. You and I are so hungry and thirsty for love. It's what drives us. It's what drives us in life. The best parenting advice I ever got was from my friend Greg. I typically think that parenting books I'm allergic to them. Because they're written by people whose kids are like well-behaved. They're not written by people whose kids are all messed up. But some of the best parents in the world have messed up kids. Do you think God's not qualified to write a parenting book? Because the mark of a good parent is not a well-behaved child. It's a well-behaved parent. One of the best parenting pieces of advice I ever got was from my friend Greg. I said, "What's my job, Greg?" He said, "Your job as a dad is to look upon your children with delight." You can't stop me from delighting in you. If you don't share my Christian faith, if you don't share my Christian worldview, if you wash out on everything I believe in and hold dear, I'll delight in you. My love for you is not conditioned on your performance. I can't help but love you. I don't even have to make a choice to love you. It's just so hard. When Gabe was born, I held him in my hands and I looked at him. And in that moment, he hadn't done a thing. I knew in that moment I would freely, with no hesitation and no need to make a decision, die for him in an instant. And that hasn't changed. If he were here right now this morning, he would be very uncomfortable with that. But I tell him almost every day that I delight in you. And I tell him what I love about him. And my Heavenly Father treats me that way, feels stronger about me than I feel about my boy. Jesus, as the husband of the church, feels far stronger about you, about us, than I feel about my beloved Carrie. I wouldn't even have to make a decision to lay my life down for her. I do it all the time, with very little hesitation. We are so thirsty, so hungry for love. We are made for love. Love is our native environment. But somehow we think in our core that our native land is something else. Did you know home is God? God is your home. God is your source. You were made by him and for him. And only in him do you come fully alive. And he can't be won over. He can't be earned. He's not a mountain you can climb. He's not some destination you arrive at through achievement. Guys, I have no idea why, but I'm desperately working and have been since I was 19 to make God proud of me. And it's not my moments of success that causes love to be more real for me. It's my moments of weakness. I said the first thing that drives us to go closer to God is desire. But the second thing that drives us to go closer to God is Need. Sometimes the things that we go through in life, whether things done to us or things we do, it doesn't even matter which one. They feel very similar in terms of the shame, the guilt, the feelings of unworthiness, the false identities that try to come on us. The I deserve this. I'm unworthy. I had it coming. I should be better. I should be able to rise up and follow the Lord and manifest the grace of Jesus in the middle of this. The gospel should be true. Why am I struggling so much? Whether you're the one sinning or the one sinned against, it seems to me the enemy's strategy is the same. Steal our identity. He's really into identity theft, is what he's into. He wants to get into those little things in your wallet, take your credit card, and start making all these purchases to your account that now you have to pay for. I didn't make these purchases. Why do I have to pay? Wait, who is doing all this? Why is this happening to me? And then he chats at you, talks to you, gets in your head, and says things in the I voice that you then think, if you're fooled, are you. Maybe I should just end it all. I deserve this. Well, they had this coming. Well, they, and I call that the storm. If I ask everyone in the room to take a pad of paper out, and I'm not going to do it, and write down the lies this week that have been attempting to land and stick to you, almost everyone in the room would be able to easily and freely do that. Friends, not every thought in our head is from us. And there's something about need, in our time of need, when we're under attack, when we're in the olive press, when we're in... when we're in the refiner's fire, when we're being sifted like wheat. Simon, Simon, says Jesus, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. When you sift wheat, you smash it as hard as you can with a stick. Then you throw it in the air and let the wind carry away all the chaff. And Satan believes that when he's done sifting you, there will be nothing left but selfishness, and it'll all be gone. He really thinks, that sin against you, or your sin, or the brokenness of the world, has driven you to God out of need. And that need has never turned into love, and that you only love God for what he gives you and not for who he is, that you're still holding on to your life and retaining control. And he hopes in the sifting to break you down and expose that there's nothing here that's even real. And Jesus doesn't say, I'll just make the bad voices stop. I'll make the temptation stop. I'll make the trial end. Just rebuke it and it'll stop. Bad voices, go away. Demons, stop. No, my friend, it's allowed. It's ordained. Don't pray for it to end. Pray to pass the test. Amen. Learn the skills required. Amen. To die to yourself and find the Father's voice. Jesus says, I have prayed for you, not that the voices will stop, but that your faith might not fail. And after you have turned back, restore others. Friends, preach to your soul. Preach to your soul. I hear the voice of the Father, and he says, Tim, find my voice amidst all the voices. Can you find my voice? Stop trying to swat down the voices. Stop trying to argue with the voices, because the voices are all predicated on a lie. That if you understand, then you'll have peace. If you can figure it out, then you can get control of it. Oh my goodness, the hand's going. Here we go. It's one of those manifestations of the Spirit things that I have no control over that I get awkward about. Like on an airplane, sometimes I get the holy twitches. And I'm like, Jesus, not here. That's not acceptable behavior. I'm going to look weird. One time the Spirit came on me and my butt started spasming. And I turned to the lady on the stage who was singing, and I said, who was next to me, I said, look, and my pants were just a-bouncing. It was actually my right butt cheek, but who's counting? I said, what does this mean? Because I don't think God's just randomly doing things to me. And I instantly knew it was a kick in the pants. I was telling him to go slow, and he was telling me to get on with it and start screaming. And I was like, Lord, please don't make me scream today. That's actually how I was praying today. Because what's in my spirit is so urgent, is so fiery, is so strong, that I'm praying for grace to be gentle and calm. Haven't I been gentle? Thank you. Good job, Tim. Keep it gentle. Because I'm not mad. I'm not angry with you, but sometimes my passion comes out and it really sounds like I'm angry. We got to find the Father's voice. You know he lives in you? Did you know he says, all my sheep hear my voice? Don't you belong to him? That means you can hear him. He says, find my voice among all the voices. Stop fighting the voices, and definitely don't speak out what they tell you. I'm so transparent. Tim Miller is just the most transparent thing ever. If I feel it, I say it, and I'm being real. Friends, there's something better than being real. Right? It's being renewed. Because what I real, when I'm real with, I feel this and I feel that, those voices, then I say what they say and I'm making an agreement, and with my mouth, I'm actually strengthening alignment and I'm releasing it into my environment, and it's a devil.
Yes, amen.
It's not me. It's the storm. It's the sifting. And I got to find my Father's voice. Friends, when you're in the middle of a wave like that, when you're in the middle of a wave like that, it is imperative that you learn new skills. That you learn new skills. When the air is so thin and when the path is so narrow and when the consequences are so dire, need. And then I have to pay the price. What's the price? Everything. All of me. Is what I preach on Sunday true, guys? Haven't I been saying that the blood of Jesus can make it as if we've never sinned? Amen. Isn't that the gospel?
Amen.
Then why this guilt, shame, condemnation, hiding from the Lord, pulling back, acting like there's life anywhere else except here? Fear. And when you pull back from Jesus, like I was meditating on Romans 7 this morning, it says, I don't understand what I do, the good I want to do. I don't do this evil thing I hate. I do. I don't understand what I do. But Romans 7 is not the normal Christian life. It's a person who doesn't have union, faith, trust, love, intimacy with Jesus, but only has moral codes and theology. Moral codes and theology. Now I'm in the weakness of me. And when does that happen? That happens when I take back control of my life. Because faith isn't a belief system about what to pray and what to agree with to get to heaven later. Faith is radically throwing yourself on God. Radically surrendering. My life is yours. I hold nothing back. My money's yours. My time is yours. My clothes are yours. My ego is yours. My career is yours. My hurt is yours. My dreams are yours. My future is yours. My past is yours. These broken things in me, they're yours. I can't heal me. Only you can heal me. I can't save me. Only you can save me. I look to you. You're worth it all. This cross is true. Not only can it make it as though I've never sinned, you say this blood is enough to make it as though I've never been sinned against. How do I access that? It can't be by sitting around thinking, poor me, I can't believe, I can't believe. It has to be the same thing that gets me forgiven. I give it to you. I give myself to you. Exchange your life with me. You take all my F's, I get all your A's. You take all my griefs, man of sorrows, familiar with my suffering. Your wounds heal my wounds. Your rejection heals my rejection. Lord, I'm patient with the process. Lord, I'm patient with the process. Faith is not a hit. It's not a hit or miss. It's not an easy button. It's not an instant. It's not ready now. It's not an on-demand. If I just pray right, then I get feeling great. It's not about encouragement this morning, a little boost and a little pick-me-up. It's a journey where I have to walk by faith through a long, winding road and trust that He is doing what I can't quite see from here, but I believe and I refuse to back off. I refuse to take selfishness and put it back on the motive of my life. Guys, we cannot rise beyond our motive. Our life, our fruit is limited by our motive. I know it sounds like a really hard word to say to people going through really hard things. You guys are going through really, really hard things. And it sounds like a really hard word to say, selfishness will crush you.
Yeah, it will.
But it will. Surrender and trust. There's a verse in the book of Isaiah that I put on the wall when I was a kid, by which I mean a 19-year-old. It says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. His ways are not my ways. I want to take life violently by the throat, throw it to the ground, and punch it out. You know me, it's true. You see that I can't even walk from here to there except I walk quickly. You know me. I wake up in a hurry. I want to fix the problem. I want to clean the house. I want to cast the demon out. I want to heal the sick. I want to preach the gospel. I want to discipline the children. I want to fast and pray. I want to dig into the word. I want all knowledge, all mysteries in my brain. I want to prophesy over every soul. I want to hug the mailman, which I do. I did the other day. I want everyone to know. I know, I'm just a mess. I told the lady at the dollar store, this beautiful black lady with these kids that were all, I was like, they get it from her. And I just couldn't help myself, Carrie's. I'm holding Carrie's hand and I say, excuse me, you are fantastically beautiful. And Carrie goes, you really are. And I thought, I sure hope my wife, no, she understands. I've never flirted with anyone in my life since I got married except my wife, so just so we're clear. But I just can't hardly restrain it anymore. I look around, I pray for people, I pray for strangers. Right on the way here, the kids know I was, well, not those kids because they weren't in my van, but these know, two Mexican guys walking down the sidewalk, I'm praying for them. Another guy, it's like... Guys, I've never hurt more in my life, but I've never felt more loved in my life. I told Jesus the other day, I'm hanging on by a thread, and the Father, actually, I told Jesus, but the Father responded, and the Father laughed and said, no, you're not. You're standing on solid rock.
Amen.
I'm hanging on by a thread. No, you're not. You're standing on solid rock. See, it's what voice you hear, what voice you give credit to, what voice. Find my voice, Tim. Find my voice. Agree with me. Say what I say. Ask me what I see. What do I see? What do I feel? What am I motivated by? What's God? He and I argue. Father and I argue. God, if you would have just let me know this, I would have fixed that by now. I said that to him. He said, hold up now. They aren't listening to me, and you expect them to listen to you? Yes! Because I would have, this is what I told him, I would have exerted my lion, my masculine, my manhood, I would have exerted my warrior, and I would have fixed the dang problem. Because that's who I am. I'm a man. I'm the dang man of the house. I am the man of the house. It's my frickin' domain. I'm serious right now. And he said, now, let me get this straight, Tim. You think you can turn hearts when I'm speaking and they're not listening to me? Yes, God. We're still in, I'm saying this to you in public. I still disagree with him. We're having an argument. It's currently ongoing. But I'm surrendered in the middle of the argument. I'm still surrendered. I'll give my shirt to anyone. I don't care. In Walmart. I'll be shirtless in Walmart. I don't care. There's some things that just don't matter to me very much right now. I don't care if I eat or drink. I want your will, God. I don't care about physical pain. I want your will, God. Desire, need. But you know what fuels us? His love. Is this gospel true? There must be a gospel. There has to be more than sin and death creating more sin and death until everything is just sin and death. Surely there's a balm in Gilead. Guys, you can't inner heal a demon. No amount of counseling is going to make a demon go when the only thing that will break it is repentance, confession, and surrender at the root, at the cross. You cannot inner heal a demon, and you cannot inner heal a sin. We will never rise above our motives, and we can never replace the gospel. There's only one balm in Gilead, and honestly, guys, nothing in the world else works. I got in Israel's face this morning, and I started preaching a mini sermon to him, and I said, Israel, listen to me. You need to seek God daily in secret where no one else is, because you had tasted and seen in these conferences and these different things that God's real. And then your faith rises and your passion rises. Now I'm speaking to all of you. You've tasted and seen in seasons of your life that God's real, that his heart is real, that his spirit is present, that his truth is truth. And you woke up to it and you saw him and you wanted him. And for a season you had strong faith. But then in secret, where the real fight is, where the real relationship is formed. Because I don't know if you've ever been super intimate with someone where you're not just naked physically, you're naked emotionally. We were made for that with God, like deeper than any husband-wife relationship, far deeper. In secret, where no one else has a right to be, the disclosing of your soul, the intermingling of your feelings, thoughts, dreams, emotions, the innermost private hurts, longings, desires, the real you, intermingling with the Father in secret when no one else is there. That's where he becomes real. Then you learn his voice. Then you get marked. And then you walk through your whole day in fellowship with him. And if you do not seek him in secret daily to build that connection, that relationship, then you will not have the power to overcome the indwelling sin in your flesh. And then Romans 7 will make perfect sense for you. I don't understand what I do. And then as you don't understand what you do and you fall deeper into sin, then it has a deceptive hardening effect. And the more you continue with that form of outward religion where you still claim you believe, but you're not intimate with him in the secret place, then the more those things that you continue to do that are right build walls in your heart to where you don't feel the thing is true. And the next thing you know, you're not sure if Christianity is even true. And you're looking down on your prior self as though it was a childish, foolish thing you made up. It didn't work for me. I tried the Lord. I prayed. It didn't work for me. Friend, intimacy with Jesus must be maintained. Intimacy, it's no joke. The opening of your soul, the holy intimacy, the sacred thing that no one else has a right to get in on, you and him. Jesus said, if you seek your Father in secret, he'll see and reward. We will never rise above our motive, and we will never rise any higher than our prayer life. And I don't mean prayer life like going through a checklist and praying religious things like he gives a crap about religion. I'm talking about honest, heart-to-heart conversation with your maker, your lover, your savior, the Holy Spirit, who you need, who you have. You have. You have. Guys, church is not a pick-me-up. You don't come here to get a little boost for your week. We don't go to church to get refilled, to handle the hard, boring thing of the work week. We go to church to spur one another on, to pour out what we've been drinking, each of us, in our secret place. There's a fellowship available in Jesus where there's grace available in the season you're in. I promise you this. I promise you there are streams in the wilderness. There are streams in the wilderness. Don't pray for this trial to end, guys. Please don't. Please don't. Please pray, do in me what you want to do in me. Form me in the way you want to form me. Burn every wicked thing away from me. All my codependencies, all my idols, all my crutches, I cast them all away. Be my God. Take my heart. Give me more of your love. Fill me. Be my refuge. Be my rock. I trust in you. Don't pray for it to end. It sounds good on paper. And you call a friend and then they yell at the devil. Devil, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You unhand my brother. Stop lying to him. You know when they're going to stop lying to him? Is what the Father told me. He said, they'll stop when it keeps backfiring consistently by driving you into my presence, into my word, into what I'm saying, so that it's backfiring so thoroughly that you look more like my son and they wish they'd never touched you. Don't pray for it to end. Make them regret it. And I started saying, Lord, I want payback. I'm demanding. I'm not asking. I demand payback, God. Hurt the kingdom of darkness for hurting me. No way. In my life, not in heaven. I want payback. He's not mad with me for praying like that. He's like, finally, get some grit in your spirit, boy. Crying is fine. I'll hold you, you cry. But after you're done crying, put your armor on and let's go crush this thing. Be careful in the midst of your grief, you do not get selfish. I'm telling you right now, guys, one of the main things in your life that will kill your soul is self-pity. Amen. It is not about me. It is not about you. It feels like it's about you because the war will pinpoint the most fragile, sensitive, emotionally raw parts of your soul. It will. That's where the war targets. The war wants to feel so personal that you're like, of course it's about me. But the Lord told me even this morning, don't take it personally. It has nothing to do with you. Guys, stop trying to figure out what's going on in my life. I'm talking to you. Like, this is actually a word for you. Plus, I'm fine. Apparently, I'm totally fine. I'm on the solid rock. It feels hard. But his strength is there. Prayer team, why don't you come up? One more word, really, really short. In Luke 21, 1 through 4, there's a widow. She's got almost nothing. All she has is basically a penny. And she goes to the temple and she gives her penny. And the disciples and Jesus are standing around and they're looking at these people coming in, dumping noisily huge amounts of treasure into the offering plate, basically. And when the widow gives her penny, Jesus goes, that was the biggest offering. The biggest offering is not about what you give. It's about how much it costs you to give it. You guys, we have an opportunity right now. Those of us going through storms, those of us going through the valley of the shadow of death, we have a rare opportunity to give him our praise, to give him our worship, to give him our song, to give him our obedience, to give him our time, to give him our wounds, to give him our heart, to give him our sins, to give him all the imperfect things that we are. We have an opportunity to make an offering that actually costs us something, that moves his heart. It's so much more meaningful to God when we do our yes, yes, Lord, you, I trust you, I belong to you, and then follow that voice. It so much more moves God's heart in that season than in the season where you're like, woo, I got faith, baby, bring it. Wow. Little funk for the kids. There was a wah-wah pedal playing in my heart. Waka-chicka, waka-chicka. It's hard to transition back to the sermon after I do stuff like that. It's like this, make this your widow's mite. You say, Lord, I'm nothing. I'm broken. I'm needy. I'm empty. All I have is a broken hallelujah. All I have is a broken heart. But you know, he says a broken heart can hold my presence. Much better. A broken heart can hold my presence. This is the season where your yes is so moving to him because he now knows your motive is him. Your yes is real. You're willing to give when it costs you, not just when it benefits you. It's so important that we start to know. This is one of the main benefits. When you see yourself say yes, when almost everything in you is saying, don't say yes, get selfish, pull back, do it your way, run after that other thing instead. Anything to feel better. I don't want to feel better. I want to manifest the love of Jesus. I want to prove the gospel true. This is like, what an opportunity, guys. What an opportunity. Do you see it? Are you able to see what I see?
Yes.
Can you see it? That this is your moment. When it's costly, when it's painful, when you don't feel like it.
Amen.
To trust him. I don't really want you to come forward. I want you to be quiet and pray and do some business with Jesus. And you guys, I don't want you to stand up here. I don't want you to give any words. I want you to go around and just lay hands on different people. Stan's different, so Stan's going to stay up here. And if you want Stan, you're going to have to come up and get him. Do you understand? Visual impairment issues. Okay, cool. But the rest of the prayer team, I want you guys to start making your rounds in 5, 4, 3, 2, engage. And I'm going to lead us corporately into just a little bit more surrender and adoration. God, we trust you. Jesus, we need you. You are close to the brokenhearted, God. You are close to the brokenhearted. You are close to the brokenhearted. It's not wrong to be broken. It's not shameful to be broken. Lord, we say, we don't understand. We don't understand. We don't understand. And you say, we won't understand. My peace doesn't come because you understand. It comes because I love you. And you alone understand. You're near to the brokenhearted. Pray it out. Whatever's in your heart, pray it out. Pray it out. Let him love you. Bring him the real. Bring him the real. If you need to yell, well, you might want to go to your car. Like I do. He doesn't speak English. He doesn't speak Spanish. He doesn't speak German. He doesn't speak Japanese. He speaks heart. So unless you talk from the heart, he's not really able to get it. Father, restore identities, restore identities, restore identities, restore identities. Shh. Restore identity. My son, my daughter, I love you. Forgiven, forgiven. Shame off you in Jesus' name. No longer abandoned, no longer rejected, no longer. Why would you call unworthy the one I died to make worthy? Who told you that? It wasn't me. Kunishim. clarity of your voice, God, clearer than ever before. Your voice, the voice of the Father, the voice of the Father. God, we're thirsty. Nothing else, only you. Only you, only you, only you, only you, only you, only you. We turn to you, we depend on you. I'm going to put this microphone away, but please don't stop until you're done.